world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
All right, here we go.
Hello,
my friends. This is Mickey Desai at the Atlanta Women's Foundation again, hosting the nonprofit Snapcast. We don't have Caroline Eccles with us today, but around the table we've got
Allie Cobb,
McConnell Love Tinker,
Kate Balzer.
Allie, what are we going to talk about today?
Fundraising.
Excellent.
Woo! Money.
Yes.
I know. Yeah.
It's arguably the hugest need for any nonprofit.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. You need it to operate.
Yeah.
and yet
it not only does it encapsulate a lot of different duties, but it's not something that occurs in isolation.
No, it is definitely a team sport. Absolutely. And I think as we talked in previous podcasts, it takes the whole team, and we need a strong database. We need brand building to get the donors in the door. And mm-hmm. then it's development's job to keep those donors and steward those donors and develop relationships. So it's very, again, team sport, very important, takes everyone's, even here in our office, we say everyone's a fundraiser. It's true. It's key to what we do so that we can deliver our mission. Without the funds, we can't give out grants here at the Atlanta Women's Foundation. And that's, what's most important is to invest in the nonprofits that are investing in women and girls.
Hmm. What's the mission?
So to be a catalyst for change in the lives of women and girls.
Specifically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so we do that in a couple different ways. So the main way that we deliver our mission is through grant making. So our clients are the nonprofits, which is different. And it's different for fundraising to not be direct service. Mm-hmm. We are a grant giving organization, and we also have programs for women's leadership. So that's the other way to be a women's foundation for women in poverty, women and girls in poverty, to help them overcome their barriers. That's what our grant making addresses, as well as our collective impact approach to grant making, where we are a thought leader and a strategic thinker for the nonprofits that have programs specifically for women and girls. And then the other piece is our leadership programs. We do a Women on Board program, mm-hmm. which helps get more women placed on nonprofit boards, and a new program called Inspire Atlanta, which is a philanthropic leadership program to help develop women from all walks of life at different stages of their careers to learn how to best give back, particularly those women that are passionate about helping lift up other women and girls.
How do you sell the mission? Or does the mission sell itself?
A little bit of both. I think, obviously, one of the things that I've learned, this is probably a roundabout way of answering this question, but mm-hmm. one of the things that I've learned working in development, I've worked for different organizations, and I've been passionate about the mission of every organization that I've worked for. You have to in order to do this work. But what I'm most passionate about is helping those donors, volunteers. I've done some volunteer management. If they are passionate about women and girls, if they are passionate about, cancer research and finding a cure, if they are passionate about education, it's giving them a way to use that passion. Mm-hmm. And make a difference with that passion. And so that's what I feel my job is as a development and fundraising employee, as my career has been, to create ways for people to follow their passions and to give back and to make a real change and a real difference in their communities. Because mm-hmm. I think that's what we're all looking to do in one way or the other. We want to leave our communities, our states, our countries, our world a better place. And to do that, again, it's investing in whether it's nonprofit or government, policy, politics, whatever it might be. That's an important way to do that. So I don't know that I necessarily answered that question,
I think you did.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back for a second. How did you get into development and fundraising and all the things you could have done in the nonprofit world? Why this?
Yeah. So it started in college. I was part of a volunteer leadership team for a dance marathon, which helped with Children's Miracle Network, which helps local hospitals with funding. And so
dance marathon, like dance till you drop kind of marathon?
Well, kind of. It's really an interesting interesting event. And I know they're still going around, you know, all the different universities and colleges. But it's when I was doing it, it was 32 hours. I think they've shortened it to 24 hours. But you can never, you can't sit down.
Good
as
Lord.
A dancer, and you have to raise so much money to become a dancer, and then you do a dance every hour to keep the morale up. So you can't sleep, you can't sit down, and you're fundraising. It's really a special, unique event. And so I never danced, but I got involved on the planning side, which you didn't get to sleep that much either. For doing that, you did get a 2-hour nap. but it was hard to sleep because you were so pumped up with the whole thing. But right. that, so I got involved. I did marketing and sponsorship for that and realized that I could do that for a career. I had no idea. Nonprofit management wasn't really a big degree. And so I don't know that we had that as a major. I wasn't aware of that. And so that's by volunteering. I learned and met some people who, one of my friend's aunt was on a board for an organization here in Atlanta. And they were looking, as I was graduating, looking for someone to manage their events. And so I was lucky enough to get a job. I started the day after I graduated and have been doing nonprofit development work ever since. So started mostly in event fundraising and particularly peer-to-peer campaign fundraising, which walks, runs, I did dragon boat races. And now our Inspire Atlanta is really a peer-to-peer fundraising campaign. There's all different kinds of campaigns like that. But I've done stewardship, direct mail. I've dabbled a little bit in marketing. It's so great that we have someone who can invest in that. I think, like we were talking about, dabbled a little bit in database when, again, you're with a small nonprofit or they're not investing in those areas. You do get to wear a lot of hats. So I've done a little bit of that. I'm grateful for it, but it's nice to be able to focus on the development piece and the fundraising and the stewardship, major giving.
So how much of your day is major gift asks, like individual person to person asks, versus all the other kinds of fundraising you just listed?
Yeah, you know, so not enough. Yeah. and that's very popular. Our the trend in nonprofit, I think people are trying to get more into that donor relationship and those personal asks, where a lot of the times, especially being non-direct service here, to get people in, we really have to do the events and we have to have relevant events, relevant speakers on topics that are of interest to potential donors through, you know, bringing in topics around women and girls and being a woman of influence. So that is where we draw people in. So I spend a lot of time working on events and trying always to focus more time on the donor relations. And luckily, we were able to bring somebody in to help with event logistics. And so that's nice. Now, I guess, Kate mentioned in an earlier episode, she's a one-woman show. I'm a two-woman show now. So, and I'm grateful for those resources because the events, you know, I'm sure listeners might agree if they're working on events that it takes a lot of time.
Sure, it does.
When we want to focus on those relationships of those that are coming to the events, following up with them, getting to know them better, understanding what it is that they're interested in so that when we do have a project, we can pitch that project. Right. On that note, too, I just wanted to add, I think a lot of times, when I say that I'm in fundraising or development, donor engagement, people say, oh, I could never ask for money. I could never ask for money. And I'm really not asking a lot. I'm asking people to ask people for money a lot of the times. But it's not just asking for money. I mean, you're really asking for someone to invest in something that they care about. And whether that's asking them to become a fundraiser and asking others for money or asking them to give a donation. And a lot of the times, you know, it's best practice to bring in board members or someone who is familiar with that person. So it's not cold calling and just asking somebody, hey, will you give us a donation? It's relationship and it becomes more comfortable with, you know, more practice and more time. And it's still something that I'm trying to do more of this far down the road.
I know it's a question for a lot of nonprofits is like, how do you change the culture of the organization to include more fundraising activities? And there are people out there who think that fundraising is just making the ask, and it's not.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So yeah. How then do you change the culture of the organization to queue up a broader range of activities for board members, for even volunteers and ambassadors to become fundraisers in at least some sense of the word.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's hard. A lot of it does depend on leadership mm-hmm. for the organization. And, you know, we have a wonderful leader here, Carrie Love, who understands that it's all about relationships. And, you know, the best that you can do in terms of trying to change the culture is focus on yourself and what you can do, really, mm-hmm. I think. And it will prove to work, you know, as opposed to just going out there and just trying to bring in money. And I think, again, a lot of leadership thinks that, and there's research and articles to say the opposite. And so there's, you know, I think just that part of that nonprofit, one foot in front of the other and one step at a time would be my advice. But it's hard to change leadership. So I think all you can do is focus on what you know to be is best practices and focus on that relationship, and you'll get the reward.
Let me ask, how do you organize your day? How do you prioritize what you need to do?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's always been a challenge with organizing the day. And I think at times I've been really good at it. And at times you're just what's right in front of you, especially in the event world. I think when the event is not within a few weeks, I try to look ahead as best as I can. I think that's one of the hardest things to do in nonprofit fundraising is look ahead, is reach out to those donors you haven't reached out to, whether it's just sending them a story or a thank you or trying to set up a lunch. Do it when you can, especially if you're a small nonprofit and you don't have a major gifts program, or I know there are many nonprofits out there that have a whole staff of donor relations or major gift programs. You know, we don't. And so, but as long as you're doing that in the in-between, I always try to do that in the downtime and then plan ahead and get some things going for events. But when you do events and event fundraising, they need to be stellar. You know, you need to pull it off because that's the front door to the organization. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to invest in that well and make sure it's a well-run event and that you have a plan for follow-up for those that attend.
I know we could talk about any separate piece of what we're touching on here and spend an entire episode on it. In terms of event fundraising, I find myself giving a word of caution to nonprofits that doing event fundraising is a good way to go broke in a hurry.
Quickly, yes.
So how do you avoid that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a little bit of risk reward in doing that. Trying to infuse mission. And so rather than adding another event to try and get more of a donor pipeline for the Atlanta Women's Foundation, we looked at a campaign, which is a little bit of a series of events through our Inspire Atlanta, and which is mission focused. We're focused on developing these women personally, professionally, and then also philanthropically, and they're raising money for us in return. So you have to get creative for what works for your mission. Don't do a walk because walks are popular. It's hard to raise a lot of money with walks. And so if it's not established or it doesn't make sense, I wouldn't do it. I definitely would focus more on donor engagement events where you get to share your mission. Have, particularly for direct service, you know, have those that you've served speak to donors. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. And I think that goes a long way. And that could be an event with a large cost, or it could be a very low cost or a free event even. Get a bunch of things donated and have, I think you need that space, especially when you're small or starting out, to where you need to invite people face to face and at a large quantity so that you can reach as many people as possible. But it doesn't have to be a huge fundraiser. It can be something very simple. And I've seen a lot of success with that. And then the follow-up on that and getting to know the people that attended, getting to understand what they're interested in and asking for the gift can go just as far as any fundraising event. So you do have to be careful. I would also add, you know, if you're planning to do an event, have a focus group committee to brainstorm, to get an understanding of, will this go? Will this work? Will we raise a lot of money here? And get the feedback and do that
market research.
Yeah, market research. And so we usually do that with some board members or volunteers. And when we started our new Inspire Atlanta campaign, we brought together corporate partners, board members, volunteers that had mentioned interest in doing something more for women in the mm-hmm. corporate landscape. So that they helped us develop the program, and it's been successful because we brought others in.
I know we're almost out of time, but I wanted to touch on one more thing. In the last episode, you said the database tells the story. Can we talk about that just a little bit and explain why that's such a critical piece of your daily operations?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, the database tells a story. So if you go in and you want to know who your donors are and what kind of outreach do you want to pull together an event. You know, in doing research for our new campaign, we looked at women in the past that have been part of a similar campaign, or were interested in developing women leaders in the community. And so if we didn't have that information in the database, we couldn't have gone to those donors to get their feedback, to get their support about launching something new. So it's just huge. And then also, particularly on direct mail, if you want to customize that and know who you're mailing to, you don't want to send your typical direct mail letter to a $10,000 donor. And so even if they haven't given $10,000 last year, you know, you want to be able to pull out the information that you need to know for how you're going to reach out to these donors. Is it going to be a meeting? Is it going to be a letter? Is it going to be inviting them to an event? And if you can't pull those lists, if you can't look up what was the last communication that an employee, especially when you're new coming on, had with this donor and what did that look like, you're at a loss and you're starting from scratch. And so it's really truly a gift to be able to know the story and to build off that story and to best steward the donor.
Good stuff. Any parting words of advice for our listener? It's like my ubiquitous question.
Yeah, I have so much. Sure. But really, truly, it's hard work. It's rewarding work, particularly in fundraising. And there's only so much you have control. So control the things you can control and just let, you know, the rest fall into place. And there are times where you'll try something and it'll fail, but you have to try. And you have to do things a little bit differently if they're not working for you and they're not bringing in real relationships too. I think that a lot of times it's people think of nonprofit donations as a transaction, and it's not a transaction. I think you have to understand it's a relationship. And when you think about it as a transaction, it's just always going to be in, out, in, out. And you have to realize that you're in this together, not only with your team, as we talked about earlier, but with a donor. They're as much a part of the organization as you are as an employee.
That's really profound, actually. Thank you. And again, Ali McConnell, Kate, thank you for allowing me to come in and do this. And this has been, you know, a fantastic experience for me. I hope we can do it again sometime. And to our listener, thank you for joining us. This has been the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your feedback and comments. If you have any questions for the folks at the Atlanta Women's Foundation, do you want them to write to me or do you want them to write to you?
Communications director.
Yeah, you can email us directly. So the easiest is just our general email, which is info@AtlantaWomen, which is WOMEN.org. So you can also find that information on our website, which is really easy. It's AtlantaWomen.org.
Easy enough. And the Nonprofit Snapcast website is also nonprofitsnapcast.org, where you can listen to, I think, all of our episodes right there on the website. You don't even need to subscribe via Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And but again, we value your comments and your questions, and we look forward to joining you on a future episode of the Snapcast. Have a great day.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.